like cult world.
I think what you need to.
Good morning. It is now 10:07 a.m. My name is Anna Van Degna, and this is a special meeting of the Oversight Board for Thursday, January 16th, 2025. Today's meeting is being held in hybrid format. Members of the public can participate and provide comments both in person at City Hall and remotely through WebEx. Thank you to the staff and guests who will also be participating in today's meeting. Thank you all for joining us. Madam Secretary, please call the first item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first order of business is item one, roll call. Board members, please respond when I call your name. Board Member Corret.
Present.
Board Member Berry is absent. Board Member Lee.
Here.
Vice Chair Ely.
Here.
And Chair Van Degna.
Here.
Director Berry is absent. All other members of the board are present. Madam Chair, we have a quorum. Please note that a seat for the City and County of San Francisco and the San Francisco Community College are vacant. Madam Chair.
The Oversight Board acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytu Shalone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytu Shalone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytu Shalone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item two, approval of minutes, regular meeting of September 9, 2024. Madam Chair.
Do we have any comments on the minutes from any of the board members? Madam Secretary, do we have any members of the public who wish to speak on this item?
At this time, if there are any members of the public who wish to provide public comment on this item, please call 415-655-0001. Enter access code 2663-359-9281, followed by the pound or number sign, then the pound or number sign again. When prompted, please press star, then three to be placed in the queue. If you're already listening to us by phone, please press star three if you'd like to provide a public comment. If you join us through the WebEx app, please locate the raise hand icon to be placed in the queue. We'll invite anyone who joined in person who would like to provide public comment at this time to come up to the podium. Madam Chair, it does not appear we have any members of the public wishing to comment on the minutes.
Board members.
So moved.
I'll second.
Madam Secretary, can you please a roll call?
Board members, please announce your vote for item 2A when I call your name. Board Member Corret.
Aye.
Board Member Berry is absent. Board Member Lee.
Yes.
Vice Chair Ely.
Yes.
And Chair Van Degna.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is four ayes, one absent.
The motion carries. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item three, announcements. The next scheduled meeting will be held in person at City Hall on Thursday, January 30th at 10 a.m. in room 408. Announcement of prohibition of sound producing electronic devices during the meeting. Please be advised that the ringing of and use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this time. Please be advised that the chair may order the removal from the meeting room of any persons responsible for the ringing of or use of cell phone, pager, or other similar sound-producing electronic devices. C, announcement of public comment procedures. Please be advised a member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make pertinent public comments on each agenda item unless the board adopts a shorter period on any item. During each public comment period, members of the public attending the meeting in person will have an opportunity to provide their comments. It is strongly recommended that members of the public who wish to address the board fill out a speaker card and submit the completed card to the board secretary. Members of the public who are joining remotely will be instructed to dial 415-655-0001 and then enter the access code, which is 2663-359-9281. Press the pound sign, then the pound sign again to enter the call. When prompted, press star 3 to submit your request to speak. If you're already on the phone, please wait for the public comment portion to be announced, then press star 3 to be placed in the queue. When you dial star 3, you will hear the following message. You have raised your hand to ask a question. Please wait to speak until the host calls on you. When you hear your line has been unmuted, this is your opportunity to provide your public comment. You will have 3 minutes. Please speak clearly and slowly, and you will be placed back on mute once you are done speaking. Copies of today's meeting materials are available online at sfocii.org under the Oversight Board and Public Meetings tab. The next order of business is item 4, consent agenda. There are no consent agenda items. The next order of business is the regular agenda. Item 5A is a workshop on the recognized obligation payment schedule for July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2026. ROPS 25-26 discussion. Director Koslovsky.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And good morning, members of the public, members of the Oversight Board, directors. This is the workshop we're going to have on the recognized obligations payment schedule. This is a process required by state dissolution law, the ROPS as we call it. This is for the period upcoming for June 2025 through July 2026, fiscal year 25-26, and it represents about $630 million of financial authority that we're seeking from the Oversight Board and the state. And this spending would be, this authority be across our project areas, redevelopment project areas, and our enforceable obligations. This is a workshop for you. Today, you'll also have an opportunity to make additional comments at your approval on January 30th. We'll also have a workshop at the OCAI Commission on January 21st. And so with that, I will turn it over to Rosa Torres, the Deputy Director for Finance. Rosa.
Good morning. Thank you, Director. Good morning, Chair Ben Degna and Vice President Eli and board members. Again, my name is Rosa Torres, and I'm the deputy of OCII, and I'm here to present a recognized obligation payment schedule, ROPS as we know it, for fiscal year 2025-2026, starting in July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2026. OCII's mission and strategic goals within our three major project areas, which are Mission Bay, Trans Bay, and Shipyard Candlestick, invest in these communities by accelerating delivery and access to new housing, especially affordable units, create new public infrastructure and open spaces, maximize opportunity for local business and workers, implement the wind down of activities under the state redevelopment law. In these project areas, OCII will provide 22 new housing units, approximately 30% affordable, 379 acres of parks and open space, 13 million of square feet commercial space. Our managers that are here will discuss the work plans as they relate to these goals for fiscal year 25-26 later on the presentation. Okay, yes, that's where we are. OCII's major initiatives for 25-26 in the infrastructure and community are to complete street improvements and the pump station, begin construction on P2-P8 Mission Creek Park, this is in Mission Bay, design, permit, and begin construction of Underrun Park and Trans Bay Block 3 Park infrastructure in Trans Bay. Commence infrastructure at Candlestick Point and resume Block 48 infrastructure construction. On the housing side, approve a schematic design and gap funds for Mission Bay South Block E, Block 4E, begin pre-development on Mission Bay South on various blocks, continue construction on Trans Bay Block on various blocks. DOF requires categorization of funding sources for each expenditures in the ROPS. So the following is our funding sources. First, we have bond proceeds, which are from bonds issued. Our reserve balance is property tax increment approved to be retained by DOF in prior years for years in the current year. Other funds are developers' payments, grant, interest, and other. RPTTF, we have three different kinds. First, we got RPTTF non-admin and redevelopment property tax trust fund, also known as RPTTF, is to fund enforceable obligation. RPTTF residual is RPTTF from the residual pool of the funds after distribution to the taxing entities to fund replacement housing. And finally, RPTTF admin is the administrative cost allowance that we have, which is maximum of 3% of prior year's RPTTF distribution less prior year's admin and other adjustments. In our case, is savings. As we progress for in our ROS for 25-26, we are requesting approval of $630 million in funds. The largest sources that you will see in our table is bond proceeds, followed by RPTTF non-admin of $133 million and the other funds of $105 million. Compare to prior year of 24-25, we are requesting a decrease of $39 million. The primary driver of these changes are mainly two or three. The decrease in other funds of $123 million, mainly due to the spending down of various affordable housing blocks projects. And it's offset by the increase of $88 million on mission, for bond issuance on Mission Bay. And finally, a decrease of RPTTF non-admin on debt service payments. Next, we move into uses. This table shows our $630 million by type. Who's going to be using those funds? As you see from the table, half of the funds are going to be using for affordable housing of $293 million, followed by Trans Bay of $138 million, and then debt service payment. Compared to prior year, we're requesting $39 million less in authority for our uses. And again, the main thing is decrease in affordable housing for the spending down of our loans and offset by the new bonds in Mission Bay. And Trans Bay decrease $12 million. And our debt service payment by $6 million. So what are we going to be using our RPTTF for? We'll be requesting $136 million in RPTTF. The primary use is to pay debt service. As you see from the table is $85 million, followed by our remittance of RPTTF generated in the state-owned parcels to Trans Bay Joint Powers Authority. This is required under the tax increment and sales proceeds pledge agreement, which commits all RPTTF to the Trans Bay Terminal project, and that is $32 million. Compare prior year, we're requesting $4 million less in RPTTF, or about 3% decrease. And this is due to to the right sizing of the TJPA pledge and Rob's our operations authority. I just want to bring you attention to the last one, which is operations. Our previous Rob's authority was 12.5. This year's 10.5, a decrease of 1.9 or a 15% decrease. And here we are complying with the mayor's budget letter that we received on December to decrease operations cost by 15%. And now we are going to have the affordable housing presentation with Elizabeth, and I think she's online.
Yes. Good morning, Chair Van Degna, Vice Chair Ely, board members. My name is Elizabeth Colomello. I'm the Housing Program Manager. Next slide, please. For ROPS 25-26, Housing is requesting a total of $293 million to fund pre-development and construction activities for our affordable housing projects. Of this amount, approximately $160 million is carry-forward funding from prior years. As you can see, the primary sources requested are bond proceeds and other funds. Other funds mainly consist of in-lieu fees, which are payments from developers that have been or will be made pursuant to various project or program requirements over the years and which are designated for affordable housing use. The funds requested will primarily go to fund permanent loans for our affordable housing projects under construction or pre-development loans, including up to 6 potential new pre-development loans. Next slide, please. Housing's ROPS 25-26 request includes funding for projects across our 3 main affordable housing obligations of Hunters Point Shipyard and Candlestick Point, Mission Bay and Trans Bay, with the highest expenditure in Mission Bay at $114 million, followed by Trans Bay at $113 million, and then Hunters Point Shipyard, Candlestick Point at $66 million. Next slide, please. Here you can see all the projects that will be funded under this ROPS. We will be spending down our permanent loans for our projects that are under construction in Trans Bay and Hunters Point Shipyard Phase 1. And we've included new pre-development loans for the remaining Mission Bay parcel, along with a gap funding commitment for the first phase of Mission Bay South Block 4 East, which is currently in pre-development. We're showing the remaining pre-development funds for our 2 existing Candlestick Point projects that had been on hold due to the revisions to the land use plans that were underway. With the approval of those revisions late last year, in 25-26, we expect one of those projects, Block 11A, to restart pre-development, and one, Block 7, to start pre-development. In 24-25, the developer of the mixed-income Trans Bay Block 4 chose not to renew their option agreement on the site due to market conditions. So OCII is also proposing to move forward with affordable housing on a portion of that site. The 25-26 ROPS includes pre-development funding for that project, as well as pre-development funding for our remaining affordable block in Trans Bay Block 12. And with that, I'll turn it over to Gretchen Heckman to discuss Mission Bay.
Great. Next slide, please.
Good morning, Chair Van Degna, Vice Chair Ely, and Oversight Board members. My name is Gretchen Heckman, and I'm the Project Manager for Mission Bay at OCII. So on the slide, we have a few representative photos of development in Mission Bay. Starting at the top is an aerial photo of the port in OCII's Bayfront Park, then a rendering of Gladstone Institute's proposed 100,000 square foot expansion to support their biomedical research activities, and finally a rendering of parcel P2P8, a 5.4 acre future park near Mission Creek, which we expect to start construction on this fiscal year. Next slide, please. So this slide shows the expenditure categories by sources of funds. As you can see, infrastructure such as streets, pump stations, and open space parcels continues to be the largest use of funds in Mission Bay. You can see under the bond proceeds column that in this fiscal year, we will be issuing a Mission Bay South tax allocation bond to fund the construction of infrastructure, in addition to using our reserve funds in Mission Bay North, other funds, and a $7 million request of RPTTF funds. Besides infrastructure, other spending categories for Mission Bay include professional services, which is comprised mainly of reimbursement for work completed by other city agencies on Mission Bay projects. Finally, we have a little over $800,000 in developer fees dedicated to the construction of art in Mission Bay public spaces, which is being used to fund artwork in the to-be-constructed P2P8 or Mission Creek Park. Next slide. This slide shows the high-level Mission Bay work plan for this fiscal year. As mentioned previously, we will be working on the construction of P2P8, the construction of stormwater pump station number 3, and roadway improvements on 5th and King Streets in Mission Bay North. These are the main projects for fiscal year 25-26, amongst other smaller infrastructure improvements. In addition to these infrastructure projects, we will also continue to request authority to spend funds on entitlement-related activities to increase the allowable density of our remaining affordable blocks in Mission Bay South, 4 East, and 12 West, as well as support Gladstone's proposed expansion. And these final bullet points provide a recap of the requested uses of funds for this fiscal year for Mission Bay. Again, with infrastructure construction continuing to be the largest use of funds. And now we'll move on to the Transbay project area, which Benjamin Brandon will present.
Thank you, Gretchen. Good morning, Chair Vandegna, Vice Chair Ely, and board members. I'm Ben Brandon, Transbay project manager, and I'll walk you through the fiscal year 25-26 Transbay redevelopment project area sources by uses and work program. As evidenced by the graphics up in front of you right now, you can see that a large part of the Transbay work in the coming fiscal year will be focused on moving forward with our Transbay infrastructure projects. In particular, we'll be working to permit and bid the Under Ramp Park project, construct the Block 2 infrastructure improvements, and release a request for proposals to advance more affordable housing on half of the Transbay Block 4 site. Next slide, please. In ROPS 25-26, OCII will request DOF authority for a budget of up to $139 million to continue our work in the Transbay project area. While the numbers here reflect that infrastructure is the primary use of our Transbay budget funds in the coming fiscal year, it's important to clarify that we do not anticipate expending the full $106 million shown in the total at right. The large sum is driven by the fact that in 2023, we issued $37 million in bonds to fund the design, engineering, and construction of our Block 3 park and Block 2 infrastructure projects. The park project is on hold, but this month we will begin construction of the $11.5 million infrastructure portion of the Block 2 project, which will support the 2 affordable housing projects currently under construction there. In this proposed budget, we've also included the issuance of an additional $56 million bond issuance for the upcoming fiscal year to fund the construction of our Under Ramp Park project and the potential redesign of the Block 3 park and its eventual construction. We expect to break ground on the Under Ramp Park project in late spring or early summer of 2026. Therefore, the largest true expenditure in fiscal year 25-26 will be the Transbay Joint Powers Authority, or TJPA, pledge at $32 million. As Rosa mentioned earlier in the presentation, the TJPA pledge is codified by the Tax Increment and Sales Proceeds Pledge Agreement, which irrevocably commits net tax increment and sales proceeds from formerly state-owned parcels to the Salesforce Transit Center project. Consistent with this agreement in ROPS fiscal year 25-26, OCII will transfer pledged RPTTF non-admin to the TJPA to fund the continued development of the Transit Center project. Our primary sources covering fiscal year 25-26 Transbay work are bond proceeds and RPTTF dollars. And again, those sources are covering our major infrastructure projects and the TJPA pledge, respectively. The nearly $11 million in other funds is comprised of $8.6 million in Transbay park fees and interest, $2.8 million in bond interest and proceeds, and then $50,000 in private developer reimbursements. Next slide, please. Regarding the Transbay work program in fiscal year 25-26, the key activities we'll be focusing on are the continued construction of the Block 2 infrastructure improvements project, permitting, bidding, and beginning construction of Under Ramp Park, managing the interim activation of the former temporary terminal site and the Essex Hillside open space, and finally selecting up to 2 affordable housing development sponsors for for Block 4 West while monitoring the market to determine the best time to release a request for proposals for the Block 4 East project site. To fund these activities, we're requesting nearly $106 million for infrastructure, covering pre-development and construction work on our two park projects, the bond issuances to fund their construction, and the construction of the Block 2 infrastructure improvements project. We've requested $750,000 to fund consultants that support our projects. And again, there's the $32 million to fund the TJPA pledge. That wraps up the Transbay portion of this presentation, and I'll now turn things over to my colleague, Lila Hussein, to provide the overview of the Hunters Point Shipyard and Candlestick Point project areas. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lila Hussein. I'm Senior Project Manager for Hunters Point Shipyard, Candlestick Point, and I'm here before you to go over the ROPS 2526 for Hunters Point Shipyard of both Phase 1 and Phase 2, that which includes Candlestick. And the map you see is a very large geographic area consisting of 690 acres. Shipyard Phase 1 consists of two neighborhoods. 582 units have been completed at Shipyard Phase 1, and there are over 200 units under construction right now. Shipyard Phase 2 is largely on hold because the Navy is doing ongoing cleanup and retesting and remediation work. So there's no development happening on Shipyard Phase 2. And in the Candlestick area, I was here before this board last fall to amend the DDA so that we could get restarted on Candlestick Point, and that will be a lot of the work that will be happening in 2526. Next slide. So the total budget is $10.7 million, and the source is developer reimbursements or other funds. The project, given where it's at right now, there is not a significant tax increment being generated right now, and because we are doing pre-development and infrastructure planning for the future phases of the project. So the categories on this slide largely consist of infrastructure, which consists of a lot of the consultants as well as the agencies who will be helping us do infrastructure planning in this 25-26 period, largely for Candlestick, but we are also focused on getting infrastructure at Phase 1 accepted by the city, and a lot of work is being put towards that effort in this upcoming year so that completed streets and roads on Phase 1 can be transferred to the city and no longer remain either under the developer or OCI ownership. The next second category is professional services. Again, we have land transactions related to Candlestick Point that require counsel as well as consultants to assist in these transactions, as well as work with state lands and state parks for Candlestick Point, and that consists of this category. We have community benefits, which are both from Phase 1 and Phase 2. These are funds that with the Shipyard Citizens Advisory Committee, as well as the Legacy Foundation, we have a strategic plan that was adopted, and we are in the process of spending down this money in consultation with those parties. And then we have a very small amount of our budget towards lease payments, and that's for leases that OCI holds with the artists on Shipyard Phase 2 land, as well as building a building on Shipyard Phase 2 land that SFPD leases. And these lease payments come to us, and then we give them to the Navy. So that's what's reflected in the budget. Next slide. So a big part of 2526 is the restarting of Candlestick, and we are actively working with all the city departments to get that restarted. And it involves mapping, it involves getting the infrastructure permits, it involves getting the getting the bond agreement together with Public Works. So there's a lot of work there. We are also working on the Phase 1 street acceptance, which I mentioned earlier. This is mostly work with PUC and Public Works as well. And we want to start and complete the infrastructure on the other portion of Phase 1, which is called the Hillside Neighborhood. And, you know, we went through a large permitting process this past year, so we're hoping we could get that restarted spring or summer of this year, and it will continue for 12 to 16 months before completion. And the implementation of the community benefits and consultation with CAC Legacy Fund, we want to spend down the dollars that are set aside for contractor assistance, scholarship funds, which we already have a contract for, but we broke it out into multiple years, as well as working with the community on community dialogue. So there's a whole host of things that are in the strategic plan that we are working with the chair of the CAC to develop a plan for that. We're also doing down payment assistance for units that are available to certificate of preference holders. Another big part of what we do, the Ship Air team does, is work very closely with Department of Public Health and all the Navy and the regulators around the cleanup and retesting activity of the phase two parcels. The Navy is planning on the next 2 years wanting to transfer another parcel after they do demo and cleanup. And so our city departments need to be very actively engaged to ensure that the completion of a parcel is done appropriately in a manner that the city would accept that. So we work very closely on reviewing all the reports as they're being developed and understand decisions that are being made by the environmental remediation team at the Navy, as well as EPA, Regional Water Quality Board, and Department of Toxic Substance Control. So the breakout I just went over, but just to recap here, that we are working a lot on infrastructure planning, both for phase one and phase two, or permitting or acceptance. So that's the big bucket category, because we're, compared to the other two projects at OCII, we're definitely in the pre-development phase. So our work is focused on the early phases, and then the professional services. Also, our professional services to support those efforts. And then the Community Benefits Fund, which I mentioned, is developer contributions from both phase one and phase two developers, and the lease payments that we are essentially a pass-through agency for between our tenants and the Navy. So with that, I'll pass it on to Rosa again.
Good morning, Chair Van Dagna, Vice Chair Ely, and board members. My name is Nick Jones, Debt Manager of OCII. And I'll be going over the sources and uses for our existing debt and the new bonds. So as you can see in the table, we have $80.1 million in annual debt service for our existing tax allocation bonds. The primary source for payment of all our existing bonds and the new bonds we're planning for the infrastructure projects that have been discussed by the prior project managers who presented is RPTTF non-admin, and the debt service for the existing tax allocation bonds is the primary use at $80.1 million. For the new bonds, we're estimating debt service of $5.6 million. And then you can see in the other funds column, we have $8.4 million in funds coming in from special taxes to pay our community facilities district bonds for CFD6. Which is the mission-based South CFD. So the total of all those added together is $94 million and coming from two sources. So $85.8 million is coming from RPTTF non-admin, and then that small 8.4 is coming from special taxes, and that's just for one series of bonds. And now I'll pass it back to Rosa Torres to discuss operations.
I am back to go over our operations. Next slide, please. So the next slide will show the sources and uses for our operations. We will be spent 25.6 in operation. And our primary source that you see here is other funds of 8 million and RPTTF non-admin afterwards. In the next slide, we'll be just reviewing the non-labor part of our operations. First, we have our existing staff and salaries and benefit, which is 55 FTEs. Currently, we're having 38 employees. Prior year, we had 38, no change. We just had backfills and replacement for retirees. For the COLAs, we follow the city structure in percentage and dates as well. We have 12.3 million in non-labor, which is in the next slide, and then 4.2 in retiree obligation. And this is for our pension cost and our health benefit costs for our retirees. Next slide, please. When we compare prior year to current year, it's the same. We stayed constant. Our main source, however, if you look at the top part, is a decrease in our PTTF of $1.7 million and an increase in other. And that's how we achieve our 15% request of reduction. Our next slide, please. It shows our largest use of non-labor is grant agreement and work orders with the city, will be in the next slide, and other admin expenses like professional service, other current expenses, insurance, and IT. Next slide, please. So here on this slide, the table provides detail of our work orders with city departments, starting with the Mayor's Office of Housing Community Development for affordable housing service, which is 1.4, Office of City Administrator, which is our rent mail office, and the controller, the third one, which is the use of the FSP system and our audit fee, and the rest of them are IT services, contract compliance, legal service. The next slide, please. The next slide shows our how we compute our admin allowance that we get. SB 107 limits the administrative cost allowance to an amount not to exceed 3% of the actual property tax distribution in prior years, less the admin allowance that we get, minus any savings that we have to return back. So if you look at the calculation is there. So first, we have 2425 actuals, our PTTF that we receive. Then we have to subtract the admin that we had for 2425. And then we have to subtract the savings. And so we had $121 million, and 3% of that is 3.7, which is a reduction of prior year's our PTT allowance. The next slide will show the retire ROPS lines that we're going to have, and it's because the projects are completed. The next slide will show the new lines that we're adding, and that's because we'll be having new projects for affordable housing and our new bonds for Mission Bay, Trans Bay, and affordable housing. Next slide, please. So the timeline, we're going to go back to commission workshop on next Tuesday on the 21st. Then we're coming back here for approval action on the 30th. And then we're submitting our ROPS to DOF on February 1st. Open for any questions.
I'd like to thank staff for a wonderful presentation this morning. I do have a general question and then one specific question. Generally, our mayor recently was put into City Hall and made a sort of financial declaration to all departments, which included putting up a pause on professional services contracts, is my understanding. And I'm wondering how that is affecting your work plan. and if there would be any delays in production of any housing because of it.
Thank you, Director Corrett. Yeah, I attended that meeting where the mayor convened all the department heads, and through the budget office, the mayor's budget office issued a directive of, I think the phrase was, no new programs. And Benjamin McCloskey, the interim mayor's budget director, further refined some of that language. I clarified with the mayor in that meeting as well about housing, and that OCII in particular issues bonds for housing projects. And did that apply to that, to that directive of no new programs? And the clarification I got through the budget office was, you know, these are enforceable obligations. And so the projects that ensue out of these enforceable obligations are not necessarily new programs per se. Nonetheless, as you well know, our budget goes through the mayor's budget reconciliation process, which is already beginning with the 15% mandatory reduction, hiring freezes, and so on in the mayor's budget directive. So we're going to be working through that process with this first proposal of seeking financial authority. As you are aware, this is only a state authorization, financial authority, and since 2012, of course, has had to go through the mayor's reconciliation process and then also the board's final approval. So this is just the first step. These are not new programs per se, and will have to be vetted by the mayor's budget office as well.
Thank you. And my specific question is related to one of the new lines, 447. And I believe that's related to on slide number 20, the Mission Bay Block 4E, the withdrawal of the developer from that project. Am I Trans Bay?
That's Trans Bay.
That was Trans Bay. Is there any more information about additional costs to OCII resulting from the withdrawal of that developer from that project?
I can respond to that. Thank you, Director Corrett. The Trans Bay Block 4 East previously had gone through a process of negotiations with the developer Hines, with their affordable housing partner Mercy. And there's two components to it, a affordable phase and a mixed income phase. And Hines couldn't, with the economy the way it was, make the mixed income portion of it work. And also they had to fund the affordable portion as well. So that they sort of let that option expire and they no longer are involved in the project. So we are evaluating the potential of funding, instead of having the developer fund most of it, to fund more directly the affordable housing portion of that project. The Trans Bay plan requires that 35% of the total housing in the whole area be affordable. And so the enforceable obligation is that overall implementation agreement and redevelopment plan requirement of that 35%. And so we would have access to the typical tax increment financing. That would require us to issue debt for that project, and we're considering pursuing that later this year.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. Thank you to staff for the excellent presentation, very detailed. I believe this might be following on board member Corrett, but in looking at the memo and something Rosa had said, the right sizing of the pledged RTTF for TJPA, I was looking at page 13. Is that the same Hines issue?
Thank you, Chairman Degna. I'll let Rosa add if there's anything to add to this.
No.
That is initially an estimate.
And so about the TJPS, you asking first, TJPA? Yes, because we get ahead of time so early the numbers of the parcels. When the ROBS come in, you know, we have a true number. And so now we're working with Jamie a little bit closer to get better numbers because of the same thing with the city's going through, to make sure we have better numbers, and that gives a better idea for Jamie.
And if I could add just a little bit more information on that, these are the estimates of the property tax that's available through that pledge agreement from the controller's office, and we rely on an estimate initially. It gets reconciled as we go through the ROPS process when we get the actuals from the controller's office of the actual property tax that's collected. And so we always are making minor adjustments through the ROPS. And so the right sizing is just language to describe that process.
That makes sense. Thank you. Then more of a technical thing, but I noticed in the, and maybe this is a question for Nick Jones, but in the detail of the tax allocation bond, some of the newer series have TBD for the payee, but others have US Bank, who I assume is the trustee. It was like on the last page I noted for the 2023 A and B affordable housing and infrastructure bonds, if that was TBD because the trustee is changing or just TBD for other reasons.
Yes, the trustee for those should be US Bank. This,
yeah, for the 23. Yeah, we need to add.
Just as TBD. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we will add that, and then we have some newer bonds on here for which it's still TBD pending the team. But yeah.
Yeah, great. That was
Thank you. Fellow board members, do you have any additional questions? Let's see. Madam Secretary, do you have any members of the public who wish to speak on this item?
Members of the public who wish to provide public comment,
excuse me, on item 5A.
Please call 415-655-0001. Enter access code 2663-359-9281, followed by the pound or number sign, then the pound sign again to enter the call. Please press star 3 to be placed in the queue. An automated voice will let you in, let you know when it is your turn. If you're already listening to us by phone, please press star 3 if you'd like to provide a public comment. We'll invite anyone in person to come up to the podium at this time if they'd like to provide a comment. And again, for members of the public who joined remotely, if you join through WebEx, please locate the raise hand icon to enter the queue. Madam Chair, does not appear we have any members of the public wishing to comment.
Board members, since this is a workshop item, we will not be taking any action on this item today. Staff will come back later this month to seek oversight board approval. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 6, new matters for future consideration. Madam Chair.
Board members, do you have any matters for future consideration? Director, do you have any announcements?
Madam Chair, no announcements today. Thank you.
So no matters for future consideration.
The next order of business is item 7, public comment on non-agenda items. If there are any members of the public who wish to provide public comment on non-agenda items, please call 415-655-0001. Enter access code 2663-359-9281, followed by the pound sign, then the pound sign again. When prompted, please press star 3 to be placed in the queue. Again, if you join by phone, please press star 3 if you'd like to provide public comment. If you join by the WebEx app, please locate the raise hand icon to be placed in the queue. We'll begin with anyone in person who would like to come up to provide non-agenda item comments. And for members of the public who joined remotely, again, please press star 3 by phone or locate the raise hand icon. Madam Chair, we have no members of the public wishing to comment on the non-agenda items.
Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 8, adjournment. Madam Chair.
Board members, can I have a motion in a second?
I'll move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Great. The meeting is adjourned at 10:56 a.m.
It makes sense.